This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
K-Rex.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, we a number one spot.
Ain't no way, let it be. Welcome in here to the Wednesday, November 26th edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
The worst. God damn it.
When we gonna move out the ghetto?
Last night, never. In the ghetto, talking about the... I ain't even going to be mad, man.
We're going to make it out the hood.
I ain't even going to be mad. Like I said, they can't ruin my day. That's the first game. Probably not. It's the first game I remember where I feel like they got blown out twice.
Well... Yeah.
Like, how you get blown out twice in the same game?
So, the crazy thing about that is I was watching the game, obviously. And I got late to it because my son had a baseball game, so I got late to it. They were down almost 20 or something like that in the second quarter. And then, third quarter happens, they start cooking. And it seemed like for like the entire third and fourth quarter, oh, they're cooking. Oh, big three in the corner. Keegan again. And the Thunder would make a shot and the lead would go from like 7-14.
Yeah, I feel like
on one
that.
Shot. Like, I'm like, I thought they just were on a run. It was a single digit.
Yeah, I think that was only the third quarter. The third quarter was like, ooh, okay. They hit an astonishing amount of shots all in a row. And then there was a certain, they can't maintain this. This is insane. They hit 10 threes. I'm just saying, like, you hit 10 threes in a quarter, and you're still losing. All right. All right. The crowd is hyped. Because all I was thinking in the first quarter was, I feel so bad for the Kings fans that paid to go to that basketball game. And they're down 20. Like, it wasn't even, and I got to, you know, we finished what we do. I got home, sit down with dinner. By the time I'm done eating dinner, this game's over. I'm going to go build this goddamn patio furniture sitting on my backyard.
Snacks.
So I sat there, put the game on, just building furniture like a jackass, and then all of a sudden, Keegan three, Domas three. It's like, okay, wait a minute. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Then a little, okay. The 10-3, the one at the buzzer got me. I was like, okay, all right, you got my attention. And then I think that cut the lead to 7-8, that
they
three.
They were down 8 at the end of the quarter.
At the end of the quarter. Yeah. And then right out the gate. It was that's like, all what right, this it.
All right, 8 going into the fourth, and they went up and down one time, and it was a 16-point game.
Man.
So, wait, I thought they were down 8. People were excited. It feels like it's a closer game. And I look, and it's still just 13, 14, or 15.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
So, I told you, it felt like they got blown out twice.
Well, then at the end, my gosh, it was a 11-point game. And then with all the scrubs, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah,
that's
not
okay. It just went into a 14-0 run. Oh, they blew the doors off the Kings. Whoa, wait a minute.
Garbage time is Doug McDermott time. How many times has Doug McDermott entered a game where the Kings are getting their ass kicked and he just fires off threes and makes them?
I would say it happened a total of 5 times. Only one of them were the Kings doing the ones beating somebody down. It was the Jazz game at home, and Doug came in at 18 points. In like 3 minutes. It's like, oh, this is great. Doug McDermott, got to play him some more. He's found the shooting stroke.
It's a CNI single, kid.
Oh, man.
So this goodness is, so gracious. Here's
I was looking for that clip yesterday.
For the
CNI. Yeah. Hey, a lot of that game with the whole threes and all that. It's like, yeah, but.
Okay. I didn't say, say his name.
Oh, we want to talk about Keegan?
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Keegan, man.
He played well.
No, I don't think that's what Jesse was saying.
What?
I think what Jesse was saying, we're getting excited over that.
Oh.
Like, that's real?
Not even. I'm not knocking Keegan, but it's like, I'm not knocking Keegan. I'm not doing anything.
Well, no. Yeah, that was, yesterday wasn't a.
That's not what I'm trying to do, yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't a. That was just. He played. He was hooping.
It was just more so when they're breaking out in the third quarter and they're hitting all the threes and all that.
But, no, he played great. But, like, so that's who Keegan is?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
That was my point.
Anybody who says that is, they need to settle down. That's not who he is. But he has moments when he can do that. If anybody trying to say that.
What prevents him from doing that?
Obviously,
he hit at a stupid rate
last
night.
9-12 at one point. But I think he finished like 9-14 or something.
No, he was 9-15 from the field. He was 9-13 from three.
9-13. Yeah, he was 9-12 from three at one point.
Do you think he can?
Well, that was funny.
The fact that he has to hit, he needs 9 threes for all his points. That's what prevents him from doing that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like if he had, what'd he end up with again last night?
28.
If he had 28 and he hit 5 threes, so that means, oh, he got to the bucket a little bit, got to the line, then be like, all right, yeah, that's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
But to get 28, he has to hit 9 threes, which I'm speaking a little bit in hyperbole because he can do.
Well, there's no hyperbole.
Well,
that's what he did last night.
But in general, like, he don't always have to hit 9 threes to get 28 points, but usually, like, the games where he's like really hot and have a high scoring output, I bet you it's a bunch of threes in that game. That's the only way he seems to be able to score at a high level.
13 threes. Doug said he wanted them at 12. Well, he took 13 last night.
They got him up.
Yeah, and they dropped for him.
He said on the broadcast on that whoever was calling the game. I don't know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with him. But
I don't
know
where they found that guy. It was Brian Anderson or Kevin Harlan.
Whoever was calling that game.
Shout out Greg Anthony, though, right?
Yeah, shout out Greg Anthony.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, I'm going
to send someone out to set. And shout out. hey, this could be a first-round playoff matchup.
Well, shout-out to them. Shout-out to them. You know, and at one point I was feeling a little guilty, like, damn, man, Sacramento, they not all TNT. No, how many times have we had to go to Utah on a Thursday night? And I'm like, why are we here?
Have we?
This team, absolutely, in the last 2-3 years.
Oh.
Utah, for what?
Every time I'm in Utah,
these guys are garbage. Why are they getting any national TV games? So that changed any thought of me feeling bad about what happened last night. But the guy, I think it was the guy, or maybe it was Greg Anthony, who was like, did I hear right where he said Doug Christie said he wants Zach LaVine to get 10 threes a night? Did you hear that?
I think that's right, because I saw that tweet yesterday.
So, wow.
So they want Zach getting 10 and Keegan getting 12.
Yeah, that's 22.
Well, I know Doug has been pretty adamant. Like,
Deion gets another 5 or 6. Monk probably gets another 5 or 6.
Doug was, and that's the difficulty in talking about this game, is I didn't expect them to win that game.
No.
Like, no matter what happened the night before, or the 3 games prior or 2 games prior, but I didn't expect them to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's not being down on Sacramento. That's Sacramento not being good. That's the most consistent basketball team in the league all year. I didn't feel any type of way about that. And I listened to Doug's tone last night, and I felt like Doug was okay with the way that they played.
Yeah.
The threes being up, the assists being up, that shots being made. Can I tell you, this is just crazy to me. That basketball team hit 48% of their threes yesterday. Didn't take 10. It's not like they were 5 of 10. They were 23 of 47. Mm-hmm. 32 assists for that team last night. Mm. They scored 105 points?
A lot more work to be done than just making threes and...
Yeah. Like, how?
Yeah. Hey, that doesn't make any sense.
That, like, that 23 threes and 32 assists and 105 points, a 39-point quarter, getting to 105 points shows you how truly awful every other facet of the game was for them.
Well, in that, I remember watching halfway through that second quarter, they had like 27 points. They were down like 45-27.
They had 20 points in the paint.
I said, what the hell is this? 27 points with 5 minutes to go in the second quarter?
Yeah.
So they had to hustle.
It was awful.
They had to hustle and get hot to get to 105.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of...
Well, they had to have a 39-point third quarter to get to 105.
Yeah. There is one thing about that game yesterday that I didn't hear Doug say this per se. Maybe he did. I missed this post game, but there is something that he talked about that I can rock with, and that
you
I saw as well.
Can or can't?
I can.
You can.
C-A-N.
Okay.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm anxious to hear what that is. We will pick this game apart. We'll pick this team apart. DeMar had a rough night.
Struggled.
DeMar had a rough night last night, and they were still going in on Zach LaVine. As a shoot, I actually thought I clicked on the wrong podcast. I was like, this is the wrong game. Nah. We're going to talk. I don't even know if Domas's name was mentioned last night.
Oh, man.
And I'm going to try. We're going to talk.
Yeah.
If Phone lines open for you. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Stilo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Shout out Sky River Casino in the Humidor, one of the coolest places to hang out if you're just looking for a good spot to grab a cigar and a drink. The Humidor at Sky River Casino is the perfect place to be. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino was the place to play with 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games. Sky's the limit at Sky River Casino, 32 Brew Street, a great place to watch all of the tournament action as well.
That's right.
Will Z just texted me, ran a search for all games where teams had at least 32 assists and 23 made threes. The Kings' 105 points is the fewest ever scored in those conditions.
That sounds about right. It sounds impossible.
96 times this has happened. 32 assists, 23 made threes. 96 times this has happened. The Kings' 105 points is the fewest ever scored. The second fewest is 13 points more, 118. That's how bad last night was for Sacramento.
They that, like I said, that sounds about right, because
in every other facet of the game.
Yeah, 105 just seems unbelievably low for all those parameters that you put out.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it just speaks to, I don't like know what the shooting percentages were or the assist or anything like that. But like I said, when I looked at that.
In the Kings game or in the games? In the
Well, no, I'm saying like in the first quarter and a half.
Oh.
When I looked at what was going on and looked at that score with about 5 minutes to go, and they had 27 points or so. This is awful. This is awful. So like I hit 10 in the third quarter. I don't know how many they hit in the fourth quarter. Let's just say five. So they probably had eight in the first half.
The Kings were 8 of 21. They were shooting 37% from the field, 38% from three, 50% from the free throw line. They were 2 of 4. And had scored 42 points. That's the first half.
They were anemic. So like I said, they went crazy in the second half.
They went crazy in the third quarter.
To just get to the percentages that they were. So like they were so, I shouldn't say so bad, like it wasn't historically bad, but they weren't scoring. That's what makes the 105 a little bit more believable, because like I said, they barely got to 40.
Yeah.
Barely got to 40 in the first half. They scored 39 in the third quarter.
That's crazy. Yeah, 42 to 39. That's crazy. 42 first half points, 39 third quarter points.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's getting ridiculous, as our guy once said.
Yeah. Doug, like I said, I didn't catch his postgame, his comments.
Mm-hmm.
But he was mic'd up and everything on the TNT broadcast, and he was talking about some stuff. And there were some things that I'm sure he was saying after the game, publicly and privately, that I saw as well. Specifically in that second half, I thought they played a lot more feisty. They got after it. They got after it. The problem was they were so anemic in that first half, they had to dig themselves out of a 24 point hole.
Yeah.
But the way that they continued to compete, that is a good sign. We're 10 games left in the season. There's no time for, well, at least you play hard. So, you know, I'm not trying to make that argument. But what I am saying is, if they can channel that for the final 10 games of the season, I think it might bode well for the record that they finish in final 10 seasons of the game, or 10 games of the season.
Yeah.
I just thought it was noticeable the way they played, and, you know, like the Laravias and the Keons, and, you know, how they got after it on the defensive end, and the ball was moving like people want to see, and that's how you got a lot of those open threes. I thought it was noticeable in that second half, and it was a little bit of a sign, and I didn't think they did, but a little bit of a sign that these guys hadn't quit. They haven't quit on the season. They didn't quit in that game. They were down 24. They still continue to compete. So that's not going to get you wins and losses per se. But if you play with...
It'll get you wins or losses. It'll get you one or the other.
Well, yeah. But what I'm saying is, just because you you play hard doesn't mean that you're going to win.
Get a dub, yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to, you know, accompany that with execution. But I thought they got after in that second half, and it just stood out to me because it was 24-point game, looked lifeless in that arena. The team looked lifeless in the first half, and they showed a little competitive spirit. And that's all.
Huh. So what are we? I don't know how to ask it. What are we evaluating? Like, are we evaluating their, like, the game, like their play, like the game within that game? Because they didn't look, they did kind of look lifeless in the first half.
Absolutely.
They didn't quit.
Right.
But whether it's shots, credit to the Oklahoma City Thunder, the best team in the league. They probably had something to do with that as well. Mm-hmm. So what are we judging? Like, if you're Doug. And again, I heard Doug. I don't think Doug's ever going to be okay with losing. But I also think he saw something from that group. They continued to fight in the fourth quarter. The shots didn't fall at the same rate. They never got any other aspect of their game going, which made the fourth quarter that much more difficult for them when Oklahoma City tried to, you know, press them a little bit on that three, make life a little bit more difficult for him. So is he, you know, grabbing that second half and saying, that's what we have to do the rest of the way.
Yeah.
This is how we play basketball the rest of the way. We do this versus Portland on Thursday. Mm-hmm. We close out this homestand. We're in great shape.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he's doing. And maybe, you know, it's delusional from the coaches and the players to look at it that way. And people, you know, who are watching the game and critiquing the game could be like, well, that doesn't matter because you still lost by X amount of points. But that's exactly what Doug is doing. Mm-hmm. He's talking to those guys today and saying, look, man, it's not about if you're capable. It's about your mentality and what you bring to that court. That first half, you didn't bring any energy. You didn't bring any life. You didn't bring any physicality. In the second half, you did. You got to stay locked in. You got to start the game with that type of focus and intensity. You've got to maintain it. It's not easy. It's not easy for a team that's, you know, down their point guard, down their, you know, their rookie backup point guard or whatever. Like, you got some things against you, but it's the way that you approach the game. And if you can approach the game like that for these final 10 games, we'll have an opportunity to play in the playoffs. But you got 10 games to do it, and it's right there in front of you. And there's also a part of me that – Kings can win, say it all the time, the mantra. They can beat any team. They can lose any team.
Mm-hmm.
That's just who they are. So I'm not here to say it's easy now. But there's a part of me that was like, all right, that's over. Talking about that daunting stretch of games. Yeah. Like, all right, man. Because it was hanging over. At least for us, I don't know if the locker room was, but for us, it was hanging over that schedule. We were looking at that 3 weeks out, like, oh,
better
handle it now because you see what's going on. Yeah, and
looking at the trade deadline,
right? Yeah. Like, it was looming over everything for a while. Now it's over. Now, all right, it's clear in front of you. You got 10 games. You got some, you know, middling teams, some really good teams, but you got 10 games left. You don't have to worry about the crazy back-to-backs against the best teams in the league. All right, you got through it. And regardless of where you were, where you hoped to be, all this other stuff, you're still here in it. Like that, what you went through didn't knock you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, at least standings-wise. It didn't kill you. You're still here. You still got an opportunity. Boom, 10 games left. And if you bring that type of focus and intensity for these 10 games, if I'm Doug Christie, I'm telling him, I believe you guys can do this. If you play like that, I think you can do this. You can beat these teams that are on your schedule.
You think he gave them the same speech, though, after they played good for the first three quarters against the Bucks, or however many, and then the Bulls, they were up 14? Like, there's that. Well, yeah, we could do this, but there's also the other side of it. Yeah, this isn't a team that plays 48 minutes. That's who they are. Like, now, 10 games left, they're going to flip the switch now.
Well, it's not even about, because I don't think it's far off of how they've played for most of the time. The problem was they were really just going up against the best teams in the league.
And you lose to some of the worst? Like, you don't, like, you, that doesn't, to me, like, doesn't matter. Like, you don't even beat the mid teams or whatever.
You're just, you lost
to the Bulls, like, the other day.
Well, you lost to the Bulls, but that's not indicative of who they are. I saw a number the other day. They're like, and it's not anything to write home about, but they're like 13 games over 500 against teams below 500. They usually handle those teams. So you've got, I don't know, I got to look at the schedule again, but you got like five of those teams on the schedule the rest of the way. You're, I think, like 10 games under against teams over 500. So that's where you've got you're going to need that type of focus of intensity to like beat those teams or to get a couple against those teams. But it truly is, it may be, like I said, it's just a mindset thing, but it truly is a sprint.
Yeah.
It's not about the marathon of the season no more. It's not about really anything you've done up until this point. You've got 10 games to have the best record you possibly can have. And that's the way I would frame it, at least, if I was a coach in that locker room. It's our job as media people, fans, to think about the totality of this team, mm-hmm. and be like, oh, you can't do it because you ain't done it all year long. That's what we do. In that locker room, none of that matters right now. You've got a 10-game stretch. Bring the focus, bring the intensity for 10 games. And if I'm Doug Christie, I'll tell you, you'll have an opportunity to play in the playoffs. I don't believe, and I'm talking as Doug Christie, I don't believe if you play like you did in that second quarter, you'll be out of the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have your opportunity to make the playoffs, but you got to bring it that way.
The stretch of seven games that we've talked so much about ends on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
If, and it is a big if, they can end this four-game losing streak, they'll wind up 3-4 in those home games. I don't know what you expected going in. We said this. Cleveland and Chicago was the back-to-back, right?
Yeah.
Most people thought they'd lose to Cleveland and beat Chicago. Mm-hmm. Now, in the moment, you beat Cleveland. Expectations change, pal.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. And they lose to Chicago. Looking back on it, it's still a 1-1 split in those two games,
mm-hmm.
which is probably, in the best-case scenario, what you had in your head anyways. They got the Memphis game.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was a pick'em for you. And then they lost to Milwaukee, Boston, and Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
To me, like, it's, again, there's a 10-game road ahead, but you have the chance to close out this 7-game, you know, homestand that Kings fans had been staring at for 6-7 weeks. You know, you have the opportunity to close out with not only with a win, what would ultimately probably be a huge win. Like, you could damn near put the nail in the coffin of Portland's season. But that's the other side to this. Mm-hmm. Portland's probably looking at Sacramento like, we could.
Oh, absolutely.
We could. Now, I don't know what they're trying to do, what they want to do. Like, we may even learn tomorrow if seven guys all of a sudden come down with an illness or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's what they're trying to do. Like, I think they're competing.
Right.
So it's going to be an interesting night at the Golden 1 Center tomorrow.
It is, man. And you got to have it. You got to have it.
Mm-hmm. And you absolutely do.
And there, you know, there's people, like I said, I'm looking at the chat, looking at my guy TCG, look at Stephen Brown. You guys, this is the difference. I'm not here to say I'm this or I'm that. But like I said earlier, that's your guys' job as fans. And my job as a media member to talk about what this team has done as a whole. I'm trying to take you into what probably is going on with Doug Christie and those people in the locker room. They're not supposed to think like you. If they think like you guys, then they just don't even play the games. You know what I'm saying? If they think like DCG and Audi, they just suck. They've been terrible all year. Then don't even play the games. Don't even show up. They're trying to still accomplish something. So if they're still trying to accomplish something and Doug Christie's trying to accomplish something, I'm telling you, he's telling those guys, the past don't really matter. You've got 10 games in front of you to achieve one part of your goal, to be able to compete for a chance to get into the playoffs. And if you play a certain way, you can get that done. I'm just telling you, that's where their mind is at.
Well, what else is he supposed to say, though?
He could say nothing. He could talk about how...
You can have the mentality and all that, but, mentality going to take you so far. Like, yeah, Doug, like, I don't know. Like, I guess, like, yeah, if you're Doug, you tell him that, but, like, you're not going to quit. Like, it's... Yeah, that's all you can say now at this point.
Yeah, and like I said, I'll put it to you like this. If they're approaching this the way you and everybody else is, don't even waste nobody's time.
Well, yeah, they can't.
Don't waste nobody's time. Do not show up to these games. Play the G Leaguers. Because if they are feeling like, what's the point? Like, we're 70 games in. What's the point? Please, just play Isaac Jones.
Well, they can't do that because they still can somehow, some way do something about it. But we can also look at this team through 72 games and realize, yeah, you're not good enough. You can have mentality. Like, that's fine.
And that's what I've said. That's our job. When I say all this stuff, I'm telling you what they're thinking. Our job is to look at it in its totality and say, well, they're just not good enough.
Do you think, I guess my thing is, like, what does that mean? What does it matter then? Like, does it mean something? Like what does that mean that Doug's telling that, though? Like,
I don't know what it means to each individual player. Some people could hear that as inspiration, or our coach believes in us, or, you know what, he's right. Like, we did get through this gauntlet, whatever the record is, and we still got an opportunity to do what we need to do. Let's go ahead and do it. Could be the case. I mean, we could say that about Phoenix a week ago. Like, what does it matter for you guys? Like, you guys have been disappointed. Something clicked in that locker room, and they won 4 or 5. They're playing good basketball. So that's all I'm saying. So they were Katie was cursing out Coach Bud 2 weeks ago. They were fighting on the bench. Somebody said something clicked, and now they feeling good about each other. So that's what could happen in a situation like this.
Oh, yeah. I guess. It's just my thing is, like, what, like, Doug, yeah, like, it's Doug's job to try to get him the most out of, like, the last 10 games. I just don't know if it's notable. Yeah, it's a nice message, but, like, what else are you going to do?
Skid Daniel in here. Oak Grove Kids Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Thanks for your patience, Daniel. What's going on, man?
Oh, no problem, man. I'm enjoying this. Your optimism. The three players that got us back into the game yesterday, Laravia, Keon Clark, and Murray, they were going off. You know, those guys look like they just had it, and they got a single-handedly back in the game. Then when Doug went back to DeRozan, it kind of stopped, it ended, and that was it. If you can't get the starters, the guys who are going to start the game and who are probably going to end the game to play that type of basketball, it's just not going to happen. I think that's why the fans are so down on this team right now, because I would rather see the guys that don't get any playing time play the rest of the way out, because those guys play. That group proved it yesterday. That's what I want to see. I don't care what the names are. I want to see that type of play. And you're not going to get that from, you know, I don't think you're going to get that from Sabonis, DeRozan, LaVine. You're not going to get that from that group. It's just not going to happen.
DeRozan played the entire 12 minutes in the third quarter.
I was just about to say, we got it. Like, I'm going to start fact checking these things, man. Because, like you just said, DeRozan played the whole 12 minutes in the third quarter. And they were down 8 going into the fourth. A quick, 6-7-0 run. It was Laravia, Valanciunas, Fultz. I don't think Keegan was out there. I'm about to find out right now. But, like, this would get to me, man. Because people just, and I like Daniel, cool. But you can't just say anything, man.
That's the kiss of death, Daniel. If he says you're cool, he's about to just say something terrible about you.
I'm just saying you can't just say anything, man. And if you don't like these guys, that's cool too.
It was Keegan, Laravia, Valanciunas, Fultz, and LaVine starting the fourth quarter.
Lee went from like 8 to 15 at the start of the fourth quarter. So if you don't like DeRozan and all these, that's cool too. But
went from 8 to 13 in 45 seconds.
Yeah, don't just say anything.
And it didn't get to 16 till just under the 7 minute mark. But yeah, it went from 8 to 13 in the first 45 seconds of the game, yeah. Or of the quarter. Excuse me.
You cannot like these guys' style of play or think that they're the answer or whatever, but don't lie on these guys.
Does it make more sense if you meant Domas? Because he said he wanted to talk about Domas before I put him on.
I'm not sure what he wanted to say about Domas.
Well, I'm not sure if like he meant to say Domas instead of Damar or whatever, but...
I don't know.
Domas wasn't in at the beginning of the fourth either, though.
Yeah, sorry, Dan. I tried to help you out. Don't worry.
Domas played the whole third quarter.
Yeah, Dan, I don't know.
I don't know.
We had one play to play. It didn't work.
He went to the default. Blame Damar.
Yeah, like, I don't...
That's the default.
Keon hit some shots. I know it's not popular to point this out. I don't know if anyone can remember. Zach LaVine hit some shots.
I'll say that.
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize. And, I mean, Keegan just hit a ton.
Yeah.
What do you have? Like five threes in that game.
In that quarter, excuse me.
Yeah, five in the quarter. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, he's 5 of 6 in the third quarter. Ridiculous. 5 of 6 from three in the third quarter. Got cute, took a two-pointer and missed it.
See, don't do that. Don't listen to Casey. Keep shooting, catch and shoot threes. He was on fire last night.
Damar hit a three in that quarter, for God's sakes.
That was probably the only one. Damar ain't hit it. He's been short on his shot for the last two nights.
That was the only one. The only one he hit.
Everything been like front rim with him lately. I don't know if he's tired, old, whatever. But yeah,
he's older.
He hadn't shot the ball well the last two nights at all.
And the only reason, and shout out security, all of the other starters were minus 10 except Zach LaVine. He was minus 31. He's right. Zach was the only starter, I think. Let me fact check myself. Third quarter. Zach LaVine was the only starter that came out in that third quarter.
Mm.
Laravia came in. Lit the world on fire. He hit a three.
Well, he had the little up and under reverse joint. Got a steal that led to
that. That wasn't in the third quarter.
Yeah, it was. Or maybe, I'm pretty sure it
was. Oh, no, he didn't hit a three. No. You're right. The up and under was in the third quarter. Yeah, he didn't hit a three in the third. Sorry.
Had a nice steal that led to a key.
He hit a free throw.
He played well.
He did. Yeah. He played fine. He scored 3 points, though.
Jim Blass.
Bobby Hansen.
Or Bobby Hansen.
Bobby Hansen.
Laravia with Bobby Hansen. We thought he was killing.
So what I want the Zach LaVine people to tell me is, and I'm just trying to present a different, like I'll let Kenny have one side of the argument. All of you can have the other side of the argument. I'm just trying to have a conversation here. The Kings scored 39 points in that quarter. Hit 10 of 13 threes. Mm. LaVine, by the way, 2 of 3. That quarter only happened because Zach was out for 4 minutes.
I don't know.
I'm just asking. I'm trying to put all of this together.
And even on my end, I'm not here to tell you Zach or DeRozan are perfect players, but like things like that happen. Like, oh, they were doing great, and then they went back to DeRozan and LaVine and just lost it all. Well, that's not even what happened. And even if they were in the game, why is it always their fault when things go wrong? That's the only thing I say. I'm not even – we could be having this conversation, switch the names with anybody. Like, it's not player X's fault every time something goes wrong.
Zach LaVine still isn't aggressive, though. It's the same thing with Keegan. He shot 17 times last night, 16. He shot 16 times last night. And it felt like he left – 5, 6, 7 of them out there.
Yeah.
I might have misread this. Do you have the game in front of you?
The box score and everything?
No. Normally you have the game on.
Yeah, it's playing right now.
Did Domas yell at him?
Oh, I missed that.
Domas did something, but I don't know if he was like gesturing to Zach LaVine. I think it was on Zach LaVine's dunk, or maybe it was a lay-in or something. Uh-huh. But it was like a backdoor play. And I swear Domas hit him with a, I don't know if it was like a finally or something. Uh-huh. As I said, I was frustrated with the game. I was doing some other things. I just happened to look up and catch that. And the first thing I thought is I'd punch Domas in the goddamn face.
Hey, Domas does that.
You going to do that on my home? You going to do that on the home floor now?
Hey, on the low, okay. Domas kind of does that a lot.
You You got the little stitch over your eye now. Let's talk, dog. Let's talk. But I could. It could have absolutely been something else. He may have thought Zach LaVine. It just immediately caught because I didn't think Zach LaVine was fouled. So I was like, "What did Domas?" Did Domas just yell at Zach LaVine? I could have read that wrong. Y'all have to tell me. Look, Steven's like, yeah, Sabonis' body language is always bad.
No, really. I'm at the pee. I like Domas because Domas can get on some people, but sometimes he'd be doing a little extra.
We'll come back, man. We'll come back. I want to talk about our guy, DC, as well. We'll talk a little bit more about this basketball team. Phone line's open for you as always. Sigel with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. KC been at war with an individual named Nick V all week long.
Pour it out.
It ain't my fault that he don't know the difference between a replica and a swingman. Like I said, swingman ain't even rich.
You're assuming he doesn't. Like you.
That was a choice. So I'm assuming if you have a choice, you know what's going on.
Did he confirm it was a replica?
I don't know. I could tell by that. I could tell by the zip up that he has over the jersey.
If anyone is
wearing a replica.
If anyone in the Sacramento Kings is listening, please go 5-5 or 6-4. Listen, last time we need it. We need this. Like, help us.
Hey,
it's a civil war every day.
It's bad. Yeah,
it's bad.
It's bad.
For the sake of your city, like, fix this.
Oh, mess jersey wearing.
Stop. Hey.
Come on.
That's enough.
Man.
What, you're going to call it a champion jersey next?
Don't tell me. The champion.
What you going to say? You got a jersey on next?
Got a jersey. The champion would be dope. The champion, that's mesh with the slim look around the shoulders.
I had the Black Bulls, Michael Jordan one.
He got the joint hanging over the shoulder. Come on, bro. That's probably Reebok on top of that.
This is really poured over into the radio show. Damn.
Come on, Nick V. Come on, man.
Nick V, just take a lap.
Nick, you're good. Just,
you know. Just take a lap real quick.
Nah, I ain't going to do that. I was going to say something, but that's just, I'm just cracking jokes. I'm just cracking. It might not be taken as jokes, so I ain't going to say it.
You got anything, Dame?
No, man, I just feel bad for Nick V. The man just wearing his favorite player's jersey. And
it's a rite of passage, I guess.
Maybe washed it too many times.
I gotta say,
starting to peel off.
It's never fun being yelled at in front of the class.
Oh man,
it's probably a Kevin Martin jersey too.
Oh man, what Kevin Martin do to anybody?
Nothing. Sometimes he's in the chat.
That's right.
Not really, but.
Oh man! All right. Jesse's right. You guys got to win some.
Please. Please.
You guys.
WrestleMania's far enough to where, like, it's not going to fix it. It's not going to fix it.
You guys got to win some.
WrestleMania is after the playoffs start, huh?
WrestleMania is like
20th, yeah.
WrestleMania is damn near in May.
That's.
WrestleMania going to be Memorial Day weekend before we know it.
Oh, that would be fire. But that's right, because
I do not think it would.
They moved it. Triple H moved it because he didn't win it with the final
tournament. Yeah, that's right. Yep. That's right.
There's
too many damn days off between these games, too.
What games?
Tournament.
It's normal.
I know that. It's too long.
No, Thursday to Friday.
Nah, I need Friday at 11:30 to get here. That's what I need.
Oh, it's 11:30. We gonna watch it live?
Yeah, we're watching that game live, pal.
That was gonna go crazy,
yeah,
bro.
We're watching that game live. Yeah, I mean, Friday, Mike Bibby will be with us. I'll be honest, we've talked to Mike a number of times. He's in a different position. Still, let's just all cross our fingers. I've lived this life with Mike before. He's got Ryan, and he's got, you know, our whole crew over at Sac State who will – I think he's at his daughter's volleyball tournament. I guess his daughter is just a badass when it comes to volleyball.
Okay.
And so he's at a tournament – man, I think they told us in Atlanta. I can't remember where, but Mike is scheduled to be with us at 1 on Friday.
There we go.
So that's in addition to, you know, Kyle Madsen and Eddie Gonzalez and the normal crew that's with us on Friday. We're probably gonna fire James from Friday.
Oh no!
Yeah, let him have his Fridays off. He's always getting asked to go to a cabin or go to something. It's like, hey, James, just go. Just go, James. Have a drink. It'll be fine. Who's this team's serious question? Who is this team's most likable player?
Malik Monk.
You sure?
No.
Like I said,
Keon Ellis.
That's
Keon
Ellis. That's who I think it is too.
It's definitely Keon.
Keon Ellis is like the innocent one. Like he hasn't been corrupted yet. We still got Keon.
Keon doesn't even frustrate anybody. I was gonna say Keegan, but Keegan, like even for the diehard Keegan fans, like they get frustrated with him sometimes, or maybe not. They just make excuses.
Well, no, I think I think expectations are the difference.
Mm.
There was an expectation of growth, maybe damn near superstardom or stardom or something that hasn't quite taken place the way I think people wanted it. With Keon is a nice, pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Now, if Keon signs a contract,
no, things change.
Everything, which is the wildest thing to me.
It is.
Y'all, it is not your money. You do not have to be that emotionally invested in it. But as soon as a contract is signed, boy, you are looked at differently.
Halfway joke. I'm talking about they hated Monk a week ago, but we kind of see it with Malik. When Malik was just, oh, we found him, you know, we love him. He's the heart and soul of this team. And then for I don't know how long, weren't people talking about Mike needs to start him?
Yeah. Yeah.
And now,
go back.
Get him back on the bench. That's where we need him. But he signed that contract.
I love just the casual. He's better off the bench. he's better off the bench. No, like you hoes have been screaming for this for 17 months. And after 10 games, oh, he's just better off the bench. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. We got to make a change. Keon's got to be in the starting lineup. I've seen enough. God damn it. I have seen enough. Keon needs to be in the starting lineup. All right, dog. Y'all want what's different. That's it.
That's what it comes down
That's
to.
That's it. Y'all just want what is different.
That's what it comes down
Because you think
to.
Different is going to mean better. It's the trade deadline. It's the draft. It's free agency. You think different means better.
Mm. Malik took a pay cut to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Okay.
I think he could have got more elsewhere. It might not have
He probably could have. Well, the hell, it couldn't have.
It ended up being a great
That man would be the sixth seed right now if he had taken a couple more dollars from Detroit, who I think is the team that offered him a chunk of money.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a ton more than Sacramento.
Right.
But who am I to judge what a lot more money is and what not a lot more money is?
They didn't have pizza guys there either.
No? Who knows how? Maybe the pizza guys balanced out the contract difference.
Could be the case.
But yeah, we might need to dead that. That's factually accurate. I do believe he took less money.
Well, what else you call it?
The amount of less money, I think, is probably up for determination.
The amount
probably
of
up for conversation.
More money.
Is Detroit with 20 more dollars compared to Sacramento with 20 less?
You could be in the general vicinity. Yeah, that's why pizza guy stepped up and said, no, we can't let this
cover the rest
anymore.
Of that.
Hey,
I'm a pizza guy.
Same people telling us something. It was like Malik going to get $100 million. 4 years, $100 million. Didn't they say 120 at one point?
He was a $24 million man.
We were talking about maxing out. All right, man.
Now.
These are the same people trying to
Now y'all want him back on the bench. Now you want him back on the bench so Keon Ellis could start.
Look, it's all misdirected anger.
That's all. That's really what it is.
Man.
You're
mad at Monty McNair and Vivek and those guys. That's how we got here.
It's everyone's trying to problem solve.
Mm.
How do we fix this issue? And I really don't hear a lot of people talk like we do. Like, hey, maybe the team just isn't good enough. We were wrong. Like our expectations going. We were just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people are doing that. Keon needs to start.
They're right there, though. Like, there's still a visit. The playoffs are still a visibility somehow, some way. And it's like, if you're a fan, how can you not? Like, hey, if we make this one little change, maybe it can get you these 5 wins to get you in the play-in.
I don't blame
whatever.
None of them. I don't blame anybody for doing that.
Yeah.
You're trying to. We're Jesse was just saying, we're 72 games into this. So effing what? You've got 10 left. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
What are we doing? The next 10 games, what are we doing? Because as you just said, it's all right there in front of you. They brought it up on the broadcast last night. Your final game of the year is against the Phoenix Suns. That game could be to get into the play-in. Mm-hmm. That game could be for home court. That game could be for everything or nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like
the next 10, the first 72 last night doesn't matter. The first 72 games don't matter. Hell, I said, be Russell Wilson. Just beat the Blazers. And then figure it out from there.
Got to win that game, and then like
you've lost four in a row. Don't think past Thursday.